Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, hear the word of God. At that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. That's far the reading of God's holy word. As we come to this passage in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is being confronted by the Pharisees. They're watching him. And here they accuse his disciples and thus accuse him of violating the Sabbath. It's as if they're saying that what the disciples are doing, even though they are hungry, is a violation of God's law. And you see, they have confused understanding of what it means to observe the Sabbath. And the primary verses here that I want to focus on for a moment are verses 7 and 8. In verse 7, Jesus responds, "But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless." You see, he says they have a wrong knowledge of what it means. This goes back to a verse in Hosea. And what this verse is saying is that God is more concerned with mercy, what's on the inside, with what is being transformed by God's Spirit, than he is on just keeping the external observance of the law. You see, they had put all of their hope in keeping the external things of the law. And yet, as Jesus says elsewhere, they have neglected the weightier things, haven't they? Justice and mercy. And so, in a sense, they were failing to show mercy. And we see two aspects of their failure to show mercy here. They failed to show mercy to the disciples. And what the disciples were doing, they were going through the grain field, right? And they were picking grain and they were eating it. This was not against the law. It's not as if they were stealing from someone. Well, the Old Testament law said it was okay. It says, don't glean your entire field, but leave some for the poor, for the needy. But what the Pharisees pointed out is, they said, you're violating the Sabbath. You're working. They had no mercy. They had no concern for the hungry, for the poor. They had concern for keeping this arbitrary law that they had set up. They had become more strict than the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're doing this to the disciples, but they're also doing this to the man with the withered hand. You know, they've got this man with the withered hand in there with them in the synagogue, and what do they say? Are they concerned about the man with the withered hand? They're not. They're concerned with accusing Jesus. They're concerned with setting themselves up as righteous. But Jesus responds to them. You know, he responds to them very clearly. He says in verse 11, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and pull it out? And if you'll do that for one of your sheep, and you've got this fellow human being, this one who is made in the image of God, and you don't do that, you're a hypocrite." You know, he calls them hypocrites. You tithe mint and cumin, and yet you fail again to do the way your things of the law. Now you need to do those things, but you don't forget the other one. There's not a dichotomy there. Okay? So the Pharisees were too focused on ceremony, on the externals, and they were not at all concerned with compassion or the internals or mercy. Okay? They had made really the Sabbath a means to gain blessing from God. If I do this, then I'm somehow going to barter with God and he's going to give me these things. Whereas the Sabbath itself was the blessing that God had given to man for rest and for worship. Okay? And so, what really we can take from this is it's important to understand that the Sabbath is a holy day to be kept. The fourth commandment tells us that, right? But it's less about what you are not doing, okay? And often we can easily come and say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do this. It's not about what you're not doing on this day, but it's what you are doing on this day. Certainly to worship your God, but also to do acts of mercy and kindness. I mean, we see that, and the Westminster Standards illustrate that, those deeds of mercy, those jobs that are necessary. Because that is the core of the law, isn't it? What did Jesus say? He said it's summed up in two commandments, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Right? So that's what we're called to do. So look for opportunities, especially on the Lord's Day, when you're freed up from all these other things that might grab your attention. Look for opportunities to do good unto others, to have mercy, to fellowship with one another. And look to do that because that is pleasing to God. We'll now respond to this with a time of prayer, keeping the needs of this congregation and the church in mind. Join with me now and let's pray together. Our great God and Father in heaven, you have ordained this day, the Lord's Day, is a day in which your people are to come together to worship you because you are the God of all creation. You are the one who has created us and made us in your image. And you have commanded all men to worship you in spirit and truth. But God, we know that we cannot come to you of ourselves, that indeed we are all in need of your grace, that all have fallen short of your glory. And so we do cast ourselves this day upon your mercy. And we do acknowledge that your mercies are new every morning. That there is grace for those who would come and seek that grace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We confess, though, that we often don't do what you have required us to do. And we do those things which you have told us not to do. That we have sinned. Well, Lord, we ask now that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness, simply for the sake of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his work on our behalf. Oh, Lord, and that you would, by our union with Christ, and by the work of your Holy Spirit, then bring us into a state of desiring to do your will, of hearing your word and of heeding it, that we might more and more be made into the image of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might love others before ourselves, and that we might love you first and foremost, that everything that we do in our lives would be directed toward glorifying you, that we might enjoy you forever. Father, we are so very thankful for this place of worship that you have given to your church. We're thankful for this congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, and for that denomination that is standing strong in the face of opposition from all quarters. And we pray, God, that you would uphold the ministers of the gospel, those who would preach your word, that you would uphold every elder, and that you would give them all that is needed to lead your church, to guide them unto a deeper understanding of your word. We do acknowledge, God, that in your word you have called us to cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. And so we do bring the needs of the church to you. And we pray, oh God, for Pastor Barnes and his family as they're away, that you would keep them, that you would watch over them, that they would return safely here to Kansas City, and that you would provide them with joy in their time away. We pray for all those of this congregation who are ill. We know many are suffering with various illnesses, but we do know that you are the God who heals. And so we do pray, Lord, that you would bring healing to them, that you would restore them to health, and that you would cause them then to return that to you in praise and thanksgiving. But we do also pray, God, as this church seeks to find a new location in which to meet. Although there is great thanksgiving that this place has been made available, the desire is to have another place to worship, one that is more suitable to that purpose. We pray, God, that you would give wisdom to the elders as they look for this place, that you would cause the place that you have set for this church to be placed before them, that they would know it was your will. And Lord, we do pray for John in Africa. We know that his wife, as a refugee, has come here, but that he is still there. And that it has been a long time that she has been working to get him here, a year and a half. Oh, Lord, but we know with you all things are possible. So we do pray, God, that you would make it a way that John could be returned to fellowship with his wife here in the United States, that all the necessary red tape and paperwork would be taken care of, and that they would be reunited. Well, Father, we do pray all these things, asking your grace as we continue to worship you this day, that you would give us all that is necessary. Asking this in Christ's name. Amen.